The one you just had was good.
Just mojo working.
Mojo
live.
Working, yeah. Good.
I'm all for that.
Okay, good.
It's quick, it's easy,
quick.
It's to the point.
Yep.
This is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Doan Show. You're listening to our May 17th, 2011 Jimmy Doan Show. Hey, we're back.
We're back.
Woo! We got our mojo working.
We do have our mojo. When was the last show?
I think it was like... You always ask me that.
10 days ago?
May, yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
No, was it in May?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're hitting two
May 1st or May 2nd.
Well,
yes.
Bart's going to be happy.
Yeah.
Waxman's going to go wild.
Yep.
Well, hey, thanks for sending us that stuff, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I listened to it, too. It was classic. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
That was great stuff, yeah.
We'll put a link to it. Oh! I had to get that in there because Jack Rhodes isn't
okay,
here.
Okay, so we got Counselor Curtis here.
Hey, what's happening?
And Engineer.
Still here.
And Jimmy Doan. Okay. Now, we did, Counselor, you wanted to clear up one loose end. Before we get started here in the show?
Well, I just wanted to refer everybody back to the little mini shows if they hadn't listened to them.
Curtis got a couple mini shows on there.
On the Jimmy Doan side.
On the Jimmy Doan side,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Our basic belief, I think, in the whole issue here is...
birth certificate.
Right. On that issue, well, I think we stated that...
Hello.
Well, I just wasn't ready for that issue, Eric.
We're going to clear up the loose end.
Yeah, I know.
We beat it to death, but it turns out it's still not dead.
Right. Well, it is probably dead, but there's two little tidbits for you
two
guys
little
to
tidbits
think about.
That we did not talk about last time, and interestingly enough, since Donald has bailed out of everything, the MSM is not going
to
pick it up. But the two items were what? Kurt? The two additional things were that
Kenya wasn't Kenya in 1961. It was
right.
The East and British
and interestingly enough, it shows up on the birth certificate. It says
Kenya.
Father from Kenya.
Right.
Except there weren't no Kenya.
Wait, no Kenya.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the other one was the fact that the hospital that is claimed on the birth certificate wasn't actually
didn't exist either.
It was two different hospitals and they merged in 1978. And 1978, from the last time I checked, was after 1961.
Yeah, it was pretty much. That's the way it goes. It's unfortunately.
Unless he's got the, Terminator time machine goes back or does something.
Still doesn't make any difference. The Terminator time machine is not going to help you on this one.
No. Nope.
So anyway, that was it. But again, those were two, besides the usual Photoshop and all the technical stuff, it does seem weird that your father would be from Kenya when there was no Kenya.
Right.
But anyway, what we found is that nobody cares anymore.
No, they don't. And again, and I honestly don't care if somebody is not from the United States that wants to be president of the United States. I just think that if they're going to stick by the Constitution, then they need to change the Constitution.
Right.
And if they're going to,
well, that's why I've always thought about everything. That's what always.
You know, Arnold he couldn't run for president because he wasn't born here. You know.
And we're going to talk about Arnold too.
Okay.
Yeah, the love child.
Okay.
Well, anyway, let's get up on the politics a little bit. The main thing is, of course, the presidential race, and I'm not going to, this thing gets beat to death and is going to get beat to death for the next 18 months. But apparently, Huckabee's bowed out and Trump's bowed out and Newt has announced, but Newt unfortunately has gone over to the dark side. He has absolutely, I don't know what happened. He has decided that the ethanol is a great thing, but the main thing he's decided is that the mandate part of the health care plan, that is where you are forced
to buy,
and as we've talked about so many times, it has got to be unconstitutional.
No, and I got a letter.
And he loves it. He wants everybody to be forced to pay for this.
No, and I got a letter from some super lefty wing, out there on the wings, and it said, well, you got to realize that this is an actual capitalistic... thing. This is a free market thing because they still have to employ private doctors. It's like, yeah, but you're forced to buy it. That's the problem.
That's the main problem there with your thing there. Well,
and Mitt the Twit is also pushing that as well. Or that is to say,
well, he's got, yeah, they're, of course, Mitt is has the albatross around Mitt's neck is
Massachusetts.
Is Romneycare in Massachusetts, right.
Albatross!
And he came out and didn't apologize for it.
No, he totally defended it.
He defended it and said, but, you know, it's a statewide thing. And, you know, if you defend Massachusetts care, then you are essentially defending Obamacare. And yet he tried to go say Obamacare wouldn't he wouldn't do it that way.
They didn't inhale Obamacare.
He didn't inhale, right?
This shell game is green, not red.
Yeah, right, exactly. No, I mean, it's just that albatross is going to bury him, I think.
I agree.
So Hillary? You going for Hillary?
I guess. I'm voter. So they're talking about.
Well, Jimmy says, now this is like, what is this going to be our prediction show?
No, because I'll tell you why. As you well know from the...
We don't even know who's running yet.
Number one, we don't know who's really running yet. And, of course, all the pundits are saying if you're not in by next week, then you're not going to make it because you've only got 18 months to raise the money.
So that's wrong.
That's wrong. And but number two, you do, as we all know, it is the 10-second scream
right.
that can take you from number uno to number below zero yep. in 20 seconds.
And that zero can, to zero.
Yeah, I mean, really. The Howard Dean, the Howard Dean, I'm out of here scream, whatever. Politics are, people don't understand that, if you think doggy years are short, you ain't seen nothing until you've seen politics years. Yeah. I mean, those are nanoseconds.
Right. Yeah.
And to give you an example, when to speak a little bit more of Newt, the MSM, of course, he said he called Obama the food stamp president.
Yeah.
They leapt on that as being racist. I mean, there's nothing you can see. If you're a right winger, or if the mainstream lamestream media doesn't like you, it doesn't matter what you say. A statement like "I am not a racist" is a racist statement.
Right.
So I mean, it's just anything you say. If you say I found this new book. Oh, racist.
Well, I was surprised on the food. I mean, I looked up the food stamp. I mean, I just wanted to see if I could apply for them just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
And it turns out that, if you're not even a citizen, you can get food stamps.
Oh, yeah.
No problem at all.
47 million people on food stamps.
Yeah, and actually it's like 62 point something
billion
a year.
Yeah, and I got to suggest that whoever it is that suggested that that's code for racism, that's really the racism.
Yeah, no, I've said that before. No, I'll tell you, I've said that before about here locally in Gainesville. The two black commissioners, if you want to call that, are the racists in this town because they, that's their peeps. They want to keep it.
Okay, you're black.
Oh, God. Which lethal weapon is that?
I don't know,
but that was,
you're
black. Oh, my God, that's great. Anyway, so that's the,
Well, O'Reilly brought that out, actually, Jimmy.
Did he?
Yes, as I think it was last night's show. Said exactly that. So you're ahead of the curve, except for right behind it on that one.
He's right behind the.
Yeah, well, except that I don't watch O'Reilly. So
right.
So this is okay. Okay, well that's good.
But yeah, because Newt did a pretty good job of defending himself.
He did a good job. I mean, he looked at the guy and says, "Have you lost your mind? Where are you coming from?" But they wouldn't let it go. They said it again. On the Sunday shows yesterday or whatever it was. They still came out.
Well, what's so funny is that they have to use the word code.
Right.
I mean,
what's the code word for code?
Well, right. Yeah.
Dope.
It could be anything if it's code.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
You run through the Enigma machine,
right.
And it'll come out anything.
It's just complicated.
That's right.
Hey, is that the chicken over
yeah,
there?
Yeah, still laughing.
Okay, moving on. The debt limit was reached yesterday. At breach.
Run for your lives!
Run for your lives!
Well, of course, what I thought was interesting...
Run away! Run away!
What I thought was interesting, of course, was happened.
Punctured right through it, huh?
Yeah, it just blasted right through. Well, now they said that the new deadline is August 2nd.
Right.
And, of course, some of the discussions on the... as we know, some of the discussions on the on the Sunday shows, most notably... on the Christina Amanpour ABC thing with Paul Krugman on what could happen, how bad things are going to get. And these people are just clueless. But
I love the way the debate has gone on this in the sense that now the Democrats are starting to say things like, we can't take any chances.
Right.
Well, like even getting close to this
right.
limit.
Like they've already technically breached it.
Well, or the August, the default, or whatever it is, But my point is that if you come with that argument, then the response is, of course, well, then give in quickly.
Right.
And so that one's going to be, shot down.
Yeah, but of course the big scare tactic.
You see them worried about it though, because they have such faith in this in the government debt.
Right. Well, they do, because as we know, Paul Krugman says, can I say this?
I got the clip pulled
okay,
up.
Okay, well, we can tell how valuable the treasuries are. Play the clip.
Okay, we got a clip. We got a clip for you guys.
U.S. debt, it's not just that, you know, our credibility is on the line, that people could get spooked by the fact that we start to look like a banana republic. But it's also that U.S. debt plays a very special role in the world system, right? A U.S. Treasury bill is the gold standard of value, so much so that during the height of the financial crisis, there were intervals where U.S. Treasury bills had negative interest rates.
No, I mean, I love this. Our worthless paper is the gold standard.
Well, I love it coming out of Paul Krugman's mouth.
Right. Nobel Prize winner. Well, I mean, this is economics. The irony is so thick.
And he doesn't know. He doesn't even believe in the gold standard.
No, that's right.
But
it is the gold standard.
Right.
This is beyond, I mean, and nobody picked up on it. I mean, Kurt, absolutely. The attorney sent me the note, hysterical.
Man,
I couldn't
believe it. I was like,
oh,
what?
My
did
God.
He just, oh,
what?
My God.
And I can't believe that nobody else just didn't look
where
at it.
Where was he saying that?
This was on This Week with
Christiane Amanpour.
Christiane Amanpour.
Okay.
He was on with a panel of four economists,
and he's the Nobel Prize winner.
So none of the other
there was a president of the Federal Reserve or something, or some bank, and then there was a...
Yeah, there was a banking girl.
But they're talking about what's going to happen when the debt limit. Now the show was on Sunday.
Was a default and
the show was on Sunday, and of course the debt limit was breached yesterday. It's Tuesday now, but it was breached yesterday. But as they said, so what until August 2nd?
Right.
And as
well,
the fact is that one of the things I did find interesting,
So they're not going to mess with it until August 2nd.
They're going to do a little smoke and mirrors until then.
Right.
And one of the things they're going to do, which I think is...
draconian cuts until then.
Well, what they're going to do is they're going to borrow some more money from themselves. Right. That is to say, one of the things that they're going to do, and we got a really cute cartoon from Gene on this, they're going to not pay the pension funds.
Right.
So the government pension funds are not going to get, you know, they normally make a contribution to the pension funds, and they're just not going to do it until this gets resolved. So then, of course, the question is, well... How do you pay back that? You know, say a month from now or 2 months from now, you've got to, if the debt thing is all, if we get to borrow some more money, you know, or how are you going to pay that money back? Well, we'll borrow that from the pension fund. We'll borrow from ourselves to pay ourselves, kind of thing.
No, the Democrats and the Treasury Secretary Geithner they all believe, and probably rightly so, that the debt limit's going to be ultimately increased.
Yeah, I'm sure. There seems to be little doubt. They've scared enough people. They only have to scare, you know, 51 people or something.
That's the whole game. That's why it's such a great little debate.
Right.
Because it's all about who's going to blink.
Well, it is. But the simple fact is, and I was talking with Ms. Jimmy about this earlier tonight, about the debt thing, and she didn't quite understand. She said, you know, Paul Ryan's come out with a plan to save $6 trillion and... You know, I said, well, but that's over 10 years.
Yeah, and
Obama's come out with save $6 trillion over 12 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
The point is that when you average it out, it's, you know, half a trillion, 600 billion or whatever it is of a year. Well, if you're borrowing more than that, you're going to continue to go into debt. A little slower maybe, but you're still going to continue to go into debt. And at some point, I mean, right now it's 14.3 trillion. At some point, at what point do the people who buy this debt say no mas? I mean, is it 20 trillion? Is it 100 trillion? Is it a trillion trillion? I mean, at some point, somebody's going to say, no mas. And that's when reality will ultimately strike. So the longer you put it off, the worse it's going to be. It's just that simple.
Well,
it's going to happen unless you pay down the debt. And the only way you could pay down the debt is to cut 1.2 trillion or whatever we're borrowing this year, 1.6 trillion, is to, you know, tomorrow morning you make cuts of $1.6 trillion in the budget.
And that's what the Republicans are posturing, that's what they're going to demand.
Well, let me tell you something. There's different kinds of cuts. There's actual cuts where you eliminate a program. You eliminate the Department of Education. You eliminate agriculture subsidies. That's a cut. But if you do this shuffling around business where you say, I'm going to nebulously cut X over 10 years, well, maybe, because we all know, first of all, the next Congress could come in and say, forget it. And they would, with enough screaming and hollering. And then there's the cuts that aren't cuts. I mean, there's the smoke and mirror cuts.
Well, but see, that those are the cuts that have been going on for two decades.
Right, but I'm saying that they this stuff about when they say they're going to cut over 10 years, right away, bells, flags, sirens, everything should happen, because this is, they don't do that. And especially, we've seen very, actually, responsible programs. One I remember specifically was brought up by P.G. O'Rourke in his seminal book called Parliament of Whores. In 1983, there was a thing called catastrophic health care for seniors or something. And what it was going to do was it was going to provide for $10 a month. It was going to provide a catastrophic. In other words, if you needed the, you know, the heart transplant, or that was the cat plan. Well, it was, they passed the law. It made perfect sense because it was going to fund it. Actually, it was going to be funded. As it was, catastrophic plans were not funded. They were funded through general revenues or through whatever was Medicare at the time. But they thought, in order to make it solvent, we'll hit the seniors up with this $10 charge. Well, I mean, you know, there was a march on Washington, and they hustled back into Washington and repealed it because too many people complained. But it made perfect sense. It was the most logical thing to do. It was self-funding. It took care of everything. But they got beat up by the seniors. And seniors, as you know, voted 60 or 70%.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, apparently Pelosi even said today that Medicare is on the table.
Yeah, but again, the way it should be, you know what it should be? It should be in the trash can. It needs to be so far off the table. I mean, the fact is, they're not going to fix it.
Well,
anytime you talk about reform.
See, here's the thing. Well, I agree with you that's the way it totally looks like, okay? And then we got to think, what's going to happen in August? The Republicans are just going to cave, you figure, or they're going to pass a plan that doesn't do much.
Again, and, you know, this is called predicting the future, which I'm not very good at. And the actually, I take it back. I've been pretty good at it.
I'm just saying, under what you just said right there, isn't that what you're suggesting?
I'm saying that whatever they come up with, it's mostly going to be words.
Mm-hmm.
Not real solution.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to claim it's a solution. Everybody's going to come out all because it has to be bipartisan.
Mm-hmm.
So the leader, you know, the minority leader and all the leaders will
come out.
They'll
all come out and pat each other on the back.
That's right. They'll stand
at each other plaques.
Exactly. And they'll have on the Capitol steps or something like that. And we've succeeded. We worked together on this. And here's what we came up with. It's not a perfect bill, but
here's the thing. My thought is this. My thought is, the vast majority of the Congress might be in that position, but the Tea Party people, I don't know if they're really...
Don't have enough to do it. There's not enough of them. There's like 80 of them or something, between 40 and 80 of them. And they're being co-opted daily. I mean, I've already got a couple of them that have, you know, I mean, with stuff like when Newt comes over. I mean, he's not a Tea Partier, I know that. But when you talk about a dramatic shift like that can happen with somebody that's been around that long, you think, well, we're talking about freshmen here, for God's sake.
Right,
you know,
right.
These people can be bought off. And it doesn't really matter, because as often happens, if you've got, you know, 80 votes against or something like that, it's not enough. You need 218 votes or whatever it is to do something in the House. And if you have the 218, you don't care what the rest of them do, Tea Party
right,
or no.
Yeah.
So the the point
have
is,
some fun with your tea.
Exactly.
Bye-bye.
That's right. Go drink your tea.
Yeah.
So the point is, though, the question is, the big unknown is, here it is, middle of May. So you got June, July, August. I mean, June, July, and the 2nd of August. You got 2.5 months of punditry to go on and grandstanding and demagoguery on what's going to happen. The big thing is the administration and a lot of the people, even people that aren't in the administration but still have a vested interest one way or the other, are going to all come out and say, literally, the earth will spin into the sun at high speed if you don't increase the debt limit under one way. So they both of them have at each other's throats, if you want to call it that. I mean, both.
Well, but
of them,
I just said how that argument.
This is the game of chicken.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
So the question is, on this game of chicken, who blinks first?
Right.
You know, you're right about that. And the quest. And so, do you want to make a prediction as to who's going to blink?
No, I think it's going to be a kind of a bloody mess, in the sense that you got to think about when you get to the down to the wire here. There really will be some people who are worried about the default situation,
mm-hmm.
and those people will then be forced to make a decision as to going back and forth. You know, shouldn't they urge their colleagues to cave as well as the other side to cave? You know what I mean? In other words, there are going to be some interesting players popping up and adversaries.
Well,
and
I tell you this. I wouldn't surprise me is that they pass a bipartisan but reasonably draconian bill, one that makes some piddly little cuts now so that they can say we saved. The Tea Party, of course, came and said for the $100 billion, which is not even a crumbs, and ended up with, $17 billion or something. But let's, for the sake of argument, say that they come up with this $6 trillion, $7 trillion in savings over 10 years. You can bet that 80% of it's going to be 6 years or 7 years out. They can always change their minds, and they know that. So, they can come on the Capitol steps, and they can say, look, we cut 7, 8, 10.
We did it.
We cut $50 trillion from the budget. We've cut the budget to so that in fact we're paying you.
Right, right.
And we cut it so far.
But it starts off with you paying us some.
That's right. That's right. It starts off. But in 6 years,
right,
you're going to get it all back and triple.
Right.
And so, the
best investment ever.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And the point is that they all know that they can walk back in here and next year, the year after the next Congress, and just say, oops. Mm-hmm. And they've been doing it for 30 years. I've watched them do it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's they're not going to default, he says, although I would personally love to watch it. Okay, next on the list, I've got, as big oil profits has been the big story, a big story, this very short item, the obscene oil profits. And it was interesting because Congress dragged up, as they did with the tobacco CEOs, a couple years ago, they dragged the oil CEOs up there. Well, it was funny because the oil CEOs were having none of this. And they basically, of course, Congress, if you're sitting up high, 4 or 5 feet higher than the mundane, the private sector oil people, they gave it their best shot. And I thought they did a pretty good job. But the fact is that it's demagogued to death. $37 billion sounds like a lot, but when you realize they earn 5 cents on every dollar, it's, hell, anybody does better than that.
Right.
So, and of course, then you have to ask, what do you do with the money? It's not like they went off to, South America or anything with, and spent light on, had hot and cold running broads on a ship or anything.
My thought is, who cares? From the standpoint of, it's their money, they earned it.
Right.
It doesn't matter. It wouldn't matter if they made 90% profit.
Right.
They should be able to keep it.
Right.
But in
no tax subsidies.
And the argument always.
Go ahead.
Well,
you have to understand though that those tax subsidies, a lot of those tax subsidies are what we all get. They're depreciation things,
right?
They're stuff that everybody gets. So when they talk about closing loopholes, you have to understand the loopholes are there for a reason. This has to do with social engineering. Congress for 40, 50 years now has engaged in social engineering. They want certain behaviors from people. They want you to own a home, so you get a mortgage deduction. They want you to get, they want you to have good roads, so they bribe you with this, that, or the other. This is social engineering. They want you to donate to charity, you have a charity deduction. The fact is that...
I say dispense with it all.
Well, no, it should be, because it's far from leveling the playing field. These guys
it
on
creates
high...
Artificial
it
problems.
Creates artificial barriers, problems, barriers and regulations and so forth, and unnatural economic activity. It distorts the normal activity.
And they won't let them drill anywhere they want to.
Well, that's true, too, and of course, there's more to it than that, but forget about the oil companies. I'm talking about in general, mm-hmm. when they talk about... and of course, this lady who is the banker lady on Christina Amanpour, she used the correct, the magic word was tax expenditures. Said loopholes instead of deductions. Instead of, she calls any tax not collected is a tax expenditure.
Right,
that's
right.
The code word. That's what they switched it now to make it sound like the Treasury's spending money
right,
on these people. No, they just didn't collect it because of the loop, because they were advised by Congress.
Right.
Because of social engineering,
it was against the law to collect that money,
right? And so now they're saying, well, but if we did have it, we would have spent it. Or who knows? It's just unbelievable.
Well, it goes right along with the persecution of the rich here that's going
right.
on. But that always makes sense if you think about it from the perspective of the definition. If I tell you somebody's rich, and then I say, have they been taxed enough? If you're poor, your answer has to be no. They're rich, right?
They ought to pay. But then you turn to the poor person and say, but you don't pay any taxes. And yet you get all the same benefits that the rich person does. What's with that?
Or they get food stamps.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I mean, well, that's right. But I mean, they can drive on the same roads.
That's part of
they
the get,
they
equality
get the same
of
fire, you know, police protection.
They go to the same strip bar.
They get the same national defense and everything, and they don't
same
pay for
it. Same lap dance.
Same lap dance.
And they don't pay for it. I mean, where's the fairness in that? So, you know, you're getting an awful lot for nothing, pal. And 43% or something don't pay any income taxes. Of course, everybody will say, well, they pay some other taxes. Okay, yeah, they do some. Okay, great. But not so much, especially if your income is, if you're a poor person with only one color TV.
Right.
And a three-year-old car.
That sounds like code for racist. What'd you say?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Code. You're racist. That's
colored
right.
TV.
Yeah. Colored TV.
Who's TV you calling colored?
That's
the
right.
Other kind of, you know.
That's right. It's black and white. Okay. So anyway, next item is Mississippi Rising.
Ooh.
Now, you know, our vaunted Corps of Engineers, this happens quite, you know.
Well, that was the first time in 40 years they raised up that big 10-ton door and let the water come
out. Yeah, well, that's
that
not
was a pretty cool spectacle to see. And I think they opened another one.
They have like 40 or
40
50,
of them, yeah.
And they've opened like three or four of them.
Yeah, they
know.
could turn the entire southern U.S. into a, you know, a nice scuba diving area.
Well, or at least a rice-growing property.
Right.
You know,
Rice-growing property.
Good lice, yeah. No, what I thought was interesting about this is this has been such a long time in coming. The Army Corps of Engineers, especially here in Florida, doesn't come with any great clean hands on how good they are in fixing up things. Of course, when I first moved to Florida, literally 50 years ago, more than 50 years ago,
what'd you say? Oh, that's what you said.
Yeah. They were in the process of draining the Everglades and making it better with locks and everything. Well, it didn't take them too long to figure out where they really screwed up on this one. And, you know, Lake Okeechobee rises and falls, and they couldn't understand why. You know, this what they call the sea of grass down there, that's the Everglades are just, you know,
they're gonna
a couple hundred square miles.
When was that?
Oh, in the 50s and 60s and
really?
70s.
What
yeah,
are they going to do with all the water?
They were pumping it into Lake Okeechobee. And what they were doing was they were making a lot of extra land.
Right.
Up until 1970, for instance, if you wanted to live on the water, if you take an aerial view of the coast of Florida,
right, like down St. Pete, Tampa area,
or Miami, Fort Lauderdale, it looks like centipedes.
Right.
There's just centipedes.
That's natural, Jimmy.
Yeah, natural, right. Natural formations, right. But, I mean, everybody wanted to be on the water, and it cost them like nothing for a lot. Because
right.
You just dredge it up.
You just dredge it up and make
that's
little
it.
Sandbars.
So they did the same thing when they wanted to move, when they had to move west from Fort Lauderdale, the Everglades were in the way. So they drained a lot of that land and built it up so you could, like Davie and some other places that are you know, 5 or 10 miles inland, are on basically drained Everglades land. And they figured it wouldn't be any problem. Well, of course, there was a problem. And, it, you know, turned out that there was Lake Okeechobee started to get a bunch of crap in. Of course, the sugar guys are down there in spades, and they have really polluted the whole thing. And it's but again, the Army Corps of Engineers for years has levied the Mississippi from Canada all the way down to New Orleans, and in order to keep the Mississippi in the boundaries. And, of course, until the Army Corps of Engineers came along, the Mississippi would regularly, especially up north, up in you know, Minnesota, wherever the Ohio River, wherever all that up starts, way up north,
you know.
up north of Cairo, you know, up Illinois and everything, regularly it would flood, you know, 200 square miles of land almost every year, just like the Nile Delta. Well, they said, well, we want to build a house here. So the Army Corps of Engineers comes in, builds a bunch of levees, and the next thing you know, the flood moves downstream. Well, I remember a couple of years ago that it flooded part of St. Louis, I think. Well, then now it's, you know, the big thing has come down, and as you see, they decided to bury, I don't know, a bunch of towns, I don't know, 20 or 30 towns and 200 square miles in order to save Baton Rouge and New Orleans. And, of course, needless to say, some of the farmers that are there are a little nervous about this or a little upset.
Well, they'll get a bailout.
Yeah, they probably will. I guess they probably would get a bill. So anyway, Mississippi Rising. No, again, what's the thing? You know, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature. I mean, you sit there and you think you're so smart, you think you're good, and they say, well, this is the worst one since 1936. Well, it's going to happen again. You know, it might be in a lifetime, but you just don't do that. Okay, moving along. Moving along here. I'm moving into some sort of light note here. Arnold has a love child. I guess this must be the reason they broke up.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't know why, because they still love each other, yada, 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 but apparently...
This isn't like National Enquirer, this is...
No, apparently he's admitted it.
L.A. Times. Yeah.
Yeah. He's Arnold. Apparently, do you know anything? All I saw was Arnold.
Yeah, he was with his longtime housekeeper who worked with them up until like last year.
Uh huh.
Yeah. And then, and the child's 10.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
So but he supports the child and everything.
Right.
And apparently, he and Marie are just separated right now. There.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, do you think this is when it came out that this was a love child, or do you think she knew about it for the last 10 years?
Well, he said he told her when he left the governorship.
Oh, right. Okay. That's okay. That makes sense. Perfect sense. Okay. Good.
He was out of political danger. So
yeah. Right. You know. Exactly. Right. Okay. So he kept it from her for 8 years or whatever.
And that's, the maid was still working there. That's
yeah.
The
yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. Right.
What did the maid look like?
I don't know. I'm waiting to see the pictures. I mean, you know they're coming.
Bart will probably send it to us.
Yeah, right.
Bart. Yeah, that's right.
Arnold. Buck a wow, wow.
But I heard some hint that he's going to go back into the Terminator series or something like that.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Yeah, no, he's already signed up.
Has he?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And Will Smith's getting doing Men in Black 3.
Really?
Yeah.
And of course, that's right on the heels of Ghostbusters 3.
3.
Oh, my God.
4.
That's right.
They signed up for 2, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's just going to be
this
so much
cool. But yeah. I mean, you saw that Will Smith trailer in New York.
Yes.
You know, when he's over
there
filming.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, what's funny about this?
It's a little tiny thing, Mr. Luthor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like...
it's like a city block.
Well, no, it's like, that's no moon.
That's Will's trailer.
That's Will's trailer, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, are they headed for that small moon? No, it's Will's trailer. That's no moon. I'm caught in the
gravitational pull.
No, I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. I don't mean it's
you
big.
You park your car across the street and goes, skee.
Yeah, that's right. I don't mean it's large, but it does have its own gravity. And so anyway, what happened was apparently he got all the permits, did everything fine,
and they
still had to kick him. Bloomberg still kicked him because a couple of the neighbors complained.
That
But he has another trailer with just the gym.
Right.
He doesn't. You know, you don't take a lesson from Wesley Snipes and use the Total Workout the Total Gym.
Yeah, it's 53 feet long. It's got like 15 wheels or something. And
yeah, I mean, my God, can you imagine? I mean, how did he get it in there?
I don't know.
That's what I was
saying. I mean, I'm thinking. I mean, it's two-story.
That driver is
a, no. That driver's
he makes
money.
His money.
No, he
yeah,
makes
yeah.
his money. There's no question about
they
that.
They probably designed it to fit right in there. You know, 1 millimeter on each side.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, yeah. I mean,
that's across two lanes. You know, as it makes that turn.
So. Yeah, right.
Well, maybe all the wheels pivot around and can go sideways.
Something weird.
Yeah, like in with Will Smith actually in the robot thing. You know, where the wheels go sideways
right,
on those
right,
cars.
Right.
And iRobot, yeah.
Yeah, he probably just got those people.
Right, no doubt. Yeah, that's right. Why wouldn't you?
Right.
I mean, duh.
Oh, you know, you guys are special effects people. I'd like you to build my trailer.
No, those were actual actual cars.
Right.
So all he had to do was adapt to his trailer.
Okay.
Yeah, those, right. What, do you think that was CGI or anything?
Right, of course.
No, that was a documentary.
Right.
Okay, so anyway, that's good about... now, the other thing that's coming up next week before this, after this show airs, and that is...
Doomsday.
We may not have another show.
Right.
May 21st. Did they have the time? Is it 6 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night, or what time is it supposed to end?
I don't know. It's May 21st, so
right.
That happens to be our listener Dan's birthday. That's probably why they predicted that day.
That's probably a good day to bet on.
Yeah. So we wanted to. I mean, I wonder, are there people?
Wait, does the world end in a flood of alcohol?
If that's the case, then it probably is true.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a giant beer vat.
Right.
So,
yeah.
No, the thing I wonder if some people...
This is the Christian people, not the Mayan people, but the Christian people are out there screaming that the world is going to end. And I'd like to take some odds. I mean
well,
you
but
to
nobody's,
Vegas or anybody's going
to... But the point is that, you know, I wonder who's going to bet. Because is the actual world going to end, or are they going to go stand on a hilltop and hope that it just floods, or... I mean,
they've given
I never
up
have
their
under...
lives, their jobs, their everything.
Hey, but what I'm saying is, they're going to stand there and wait for the rapture.
See, yeah,
they're going to go to heaven. That's
right.
What, okay.
Well, and my thought is, if they're willing to bet, the bet ought to be, well, you just give me all your
stuff
now.
Right. And then if it doesn't end, I'll give you all my stuff.
Exactly.
Right. I'll take that bet.
That's right. Yeah, sure.
I'll take that bet.
Yeah, if it, That's perfect.
You know?
So anyway,
and we'll update you on our next show.
Yeah.
If we don't hear it, then
well, the thing about it is, here's the little scary part about this whole thing. It's not the end of the world again. Well, okay. Here's something that's interesting. If the world ends, depending on how it ends, what are the shuttle people going to do?
You mean the people in space station?
Yeah. No. The shuttle's up there right now.
Oh yeah. Well,
it was launched
but they'll be on the space station.
Yeah, I know, but they're going to come back to Earth. I mean, they got a way to come back.
If there's no Earth.
No, no, I mean, if it's destroyed, like, just simply a pestilence or something.
I hope there's at least one girl up there.
Yeah, that's right. And her name is Eve. Okay.
Right, exactly.
That's right.
Her name is whatever it is.
That's right. She's going to have a lot of fun before it's all over. That's right.
All over.
That's for sure. So anyway, well, yeah. But I'm saying if the Earth ends like a simple flooding or something that just pestilence wipes it, so that regular life could continue, then they could just come on back and start over.
I don't know. Maybe the whole world's just going to explode and blow the space station apart. Who knows, you know?
Yeah, well, or else it'll spin off like Darth Vader's ship into, you know,
right,
another orbit.
Right.
I would imagine they wouldn't last all that long after that.
Actually, we could probably see the space shuttle tonight. I've never seen a space shuttle chasing the space station, like two little stars chasing after each other. But I think tonight at like 5:46 or something like that, we can see it east, southeast or something, east, northeast.
You mean in the morning or not?
Yeah, this tonight, like later tonight, it's going to... Well, of course, every time the shuttle launches over here, it means the space station is flying over somewhere close.
Yeah.
They have to meet up with it. You know, they don't launch the space shuttle when the space station's over on China or whatever. Again, the orbits have to kind of coincide.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's not enough fuel for it to, like, you know, go up and make a left-hand turn and go down the street a couple ways and then, you know, whatever, meet up. So... but I've never seen...
A little parallel parking.
Yeah,
there.
So I might set my alarm tonight and go out there and check it, see if I could see the two. You know, but it's real low on the horizon this time, because it would have been real high on the horizon, but they missed the first opportunity. So
right.
This is the second launch. So we got one more chance than that last shuttle, which I guess there's no backup for.
That's right.
Yep. They said if they go up there and they're coming down, all squeezing all 14 people into the capsule or something. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Dropping.
So anyway, well, that's so anyway, if it ends on the 21st, they're going to be lonely.
Yep.
No music from home.
Nope.
That means that that means that Gabby Gifford will get it again. And you know, he's been without her for a while, and now,
right.
Damn, you know.
Yep.
Okay. So anyway,
okay,
that's
Dan.
So okay.
Right.
Okay. Now the last thing that I've got actually on my list, which I think is really important, and I unfortunately don't have the entire clip or anything. I might have to find it. Since I have no life, I watch, you know, some crazy shows, and I watched one the other day on PBS. It was a children's show. It comes on, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning or something, Saturday morning or something for kids, and it's called Martha Speaks.
You're right. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's bad. Too. No, it couldn't have been Saturday because I was at garage sales. But anyway, whenever it was,
cartoons on the public station.
No,
okay.
No, it's an educational thing. It's called.
Oh, you weren't just watching it to have to.
No, I was fascinated because. This is amazing. Martha is a dog, and Martha's trying to teach little children who watch this. You know, obviously this is geared to kids that are 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. No. It's cute little doggy, you know. Yeah, right. And so, and the little doggy, you know, speaks, and there's another dog, and then there's some kids and everything, and they're teaching values, you know, family values. I'm telling you, this is the kind of indoctrination that would make Goebbels proud. It is unbelievable.
It
brought
the tear to Hitler's eye.
No, I'm serious. It is the statist from hell. It is the lessons that it teaches that the police are always perfect, and that pollution, any kind of pollution, is really bad. And when pollution occurs, it's like so devastating. You know, it just like wipes off half the planet. And how do you go report these people? And then at the end, of course, everybody, when they find the polluters show up, and they say, oh, well, okay, I won't do it anymore. And then the police like say, okay, that's fine. Then and they all kind of go their way. I mean,
so it's real world stuff.
Yeah, it's real world, right. I mean, they shake and make up and they go their separate ways. You know,
right.
I promise not to pollute anymore. Okay, good. Then there's no reason for me to you know, even look at you anymore. And then they all go away. And then the little doggy's wearing like a police hat. So the police are the friendliest thing in the world. And the polluters have seen the error of the ways, or whatever transgression happens to be at that time, stealing or pollution or something. And you look at this and you think, what are they teaching? I mean, this is like,
what did I say about pornography on that?
Didn't get that.
Okay.
Not yet. Not and the dogs yet. The dogs are naked.
Oh, really?
Except for the hat. So I don't know. But
are they hot looking dogs or
no?
Okay.
No, not my.
Well,
unless you're Osama bin Laden. You know, he had some. That was the porno. Of course, was called sheep porno. I thought they said cheap at first, but then I realized it was sheep porno. So, yeah, he had a bevy of sheep out back. That was what the compound was all about.
Jeez Louise.
So anyway, I couldn't believe when I think about, you know, they always talk about cutting PBS and everybody gets in a big uproar. But I think if parents actually were to watch that show, they'd say, holy smokeruly. And you don't need, I mean, it's bad when you realize that Big Bird and Sesame Street could make its own. I mean, that's their cash cow.
Right.
They make money going away. Elmo, all this stuff. They make all the money in the world. That doesn't, they say, well, you're going to kill Big Bird. No, I'm sorry. You never would. That's like a real show. But this.
Well, that's what it's so disingenuous whenever I hear. I can't believe that they let people like Diane Sawyer say things like, this library will be lost forever.
Yeah, right.
If we don't get PBS funds. It's like, no, it'll be sold to somebody else who
right.
will put it on the air,
exactly.
the valuable parts.
That's
and
right.
throw away the crap.
Or else it'll be preserved somewhere.
Right.
And once, of course, as you know, once any of this stuff gets digitized, you can't get rid of it. That's the problem.
Yeah. It's stuck
dang.
In your computer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Lindsay
Lohan.
They've been pitching that for months.
Well, it's all, this is the demagoguery, and it's again, this is the draconian cuts, the rich get richer, and the
I
poor...
I love it when they caught the guy on tape saying, we'd be better off without the funding.
Right.
And they canned him right away.
Right, yeah, he didn't last long. The only other guy I've got is...
Well, that other one that, I guess, talking about children, the one that the CIA came in, the Secret Service, and... jumped all over that seventh grader.
Well, that's a different story. Yeah, that's a light note.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I got the email. I hadn't had a chance to look at it. Before we get to that, though, let me do
one
thing. And that is, what's his name? Mr. Double Name IMF President.
Oh, Mr. IMF President.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine? He's on the plane. They come in. They haul him off because this 37-year-old maid...
Mm-hmm.
said, you know, she was like raped or accosted or whatever the hell it is. I don't know.
Yeah, and apparently they had the hotel cameras that had him making a hasty exit. He left his cell phone behind.
No, well, look.
He did. And he called to get his cell phone. They said, he said, well, why would I be, you know, making hasty if I was calling to get my cell phone?
Right.
Well,
and
of course, you know, who knows what's on the cell
phone? He already had the title of Sultan of Swing or something. Right?
Yeah, he already had, he already had it. Yeah, they had him as a womanizer already.
Right.
But. You know, it doesn't take much to think that this is a plot.
He's an idiot. Yeah.
Think about it. Here's the guy who is central to the Greek bailout.
Right.
He's going to run.
For
they had
president,
he, they said he had a real chance to.
No, he was a shoo-in for the socialist presidency, and they thought he was really going to take the French
Sarkozy,
presidency.
Sarkozy, right? And so if Sarkozy wanted to, he'd just bribe the girl to do
yeah,
something.
Yeah, but okay. Now look, here's a couple things. First of all. The guy's got a whole bunch of cell phones, all right? So he just left one.
Mm-hmm. And?
Right? Well, what I'm saying is it's easy. And like you said, he called back.
Said he wanted to get it, yeah.
Well, I mean, look, I think he's guilty. I know he's guilty because their defense, you ready for the defense?
Yeah, I heard the defense. Go
it's
ahead.
Consent.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not that he didn't do
oh,
it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No.
I thought the defense was...
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So, you know, once...
Oh, wow.
They're way down the road already.
Okay, because what they first said was the evidence will show that...
That she was paid, blah, 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 blah.
Well, I didn't see that part. The evidence will show that my client is innocent.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
In other words, they didn't say he didn't do it.
Right.
So that was the first little red flag that went off.
Well, they always just say not guilty, no comment. I mean... Look, his path. He was in town for 4 hours, 4.5 hours after the plane. I mean, after the
incident.
Yeah, he went and had lunch with his daughter at 12:30.
So what did the girl do?
She apparently went. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know when she told the police
right.
or how exactly.
But I mean, the question is, did she run out of the room all disheveled, and everything, and the video cameras pick up the hallway?
And I don't know anything about her reporting her exit or anything.
Yeah, well, we'll find out. Anyway, the point is he's in Rikers, and he's like the most powerful IMF guy worth, who knows what.
What's
all.
What's Rikers again?
It's a prison.
Okay. Yeah, right.
I figured it was. I just had
no. And so anyway, he's he's
Rikers
in the orange suit or whatever it is. I mean, here's the guy who's worth millions, who's the probably one of the probably I would say
He's number four on the list of billionaires or something.
Well, not that as much as it is. He's like number two on the most powerful people as far as... I mean, if you think Geithner or Bernanke or something, this guy's bigger than that.
Apparently this 37-year-old maid's more powerful than he
is. Yeah, exactly. Right. That's it. Yeah, you're going to get a little settlement.
I mean, for that kind of money, I mean, why don't you just hire the regular normal American thing? You just hire the normal Craigslist hookers.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
Backpage now. That's right. I'm sorry.
Well, the other thing is as you say... give Charlie Sheen a call. I mean, you know, he knows where to get him.
Yeah, and he could get Charlie's number.
$2,000 or $3,000 bucks, you could have a pretty good time. Anyway, apparently he was in a big rush, or who knows. But the point is that here's the guy who is central. This is where the Black Swan event comes up that we've talked about before as far as when the system's going to collapse. And that is, here's a guy who is central to the Greek bailout. Well, what if the Greeks don't get bailed out? What happens if things start to collapse?
He was on his way to a meeting with the German chancellor to discuss exactly that.
Exactly. I mean, he was the central key person in whether the IMF, you know, worth lots of money could... So the point is...
He's the socialist.
Right. So here's... So
he's the socialist party candidate. And so, I mean, he's one of the most powerful guys in France.
And here we are. And so something happens over there. This is the butterfly in the Thailand. What you call it thing. And the typhoon in the Florida. Point is, here's, you know, Greek something collapses. I don't know what and what.
No, that it's just butterfly effect. Butterfly effect. It's just like the way that you say it is hilarious.
Sum it up.
You
know? Yeah,
yeah. The way butterfly and over there typhoon in Antarctica and Florida and typhoon.
Yeah,
it's like, I mean, unless you were like familiar with it, you would know.
Well, our listeners are intelligent folk, and they know exactly what it is.
Well, I love it. I mean. You know, they're doing the full cavity search on the guy and everything. I mean, full on everything.
Really?
Strip search every time he goes in.
What are you
going
to do, find another
maid? I never heard. Yeah,
first of all, they did the full rape kit on him.
Really?
Yeah, so they photographed him all naked, photographed him 100% naked. Yeah, everywhere. looking for any scratches or anything, any identifying marks.
Right.
They're going to ask her, you know, what did it look like?
What did it look like?
You know?
I remember when they asked Monica.
Right. Like, right.
The stain is in the shape of Elvis.
Yeah, right. So anyway,
it doesn't look good.
Put that on eBay. Right. Okay, so yeah, right next to the potato chip shaped like Jesus.
Right,
okay.
Right.
So anyway, the deal is this guy is up Schitt's Creek, but I say that kind of thing. If it floods over here, you know, this is when the tide does crazy things, and even Geithner and Bernanke
can't. So Greece is, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're talking about their bailout, and it's interesting because their debt to whatever it is GDP ratio is same as ours. So
So we can watch and see what happens.
That's it, exactly.
Be exciting.
It'll be fun, yeah. So anyway, it pays. You know, you think, like you say, to be that powerful, that's whatever it is. And have to go after a maid? I mean, give me a break. I mean, she must...
Well, look, if he's a womanizer, you know he's probably doing that all the time.
That's true. It's like driving drunk. You know, you do it 1,000 times, and then you get caught.
Right.
That's right.
Yep.
Oh, you did see where somebody came up from 2002.
Yeah.
Some girl showed up and said, oh, yeah, me too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is the Clinton thing when people started coming out of the woodwork.
That's it.
Yep. Maybe. Is there a statute of limitations on anything like that?
Not on sexual assaults. No.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's been expanded a lot recently. In Florida, that is. Now, this is New York. In New York, there might be. Yeah, so he might get out of something like the 2002 charge.
Oh, there's a woman involved. There's no stopping me.
Well, the other thing is, that, you know, as they say, they were talking about his diplomatic immunity.
Diplomatic immunity.
That's right. And, you know, that he hadn't used it, so he might not have it.
Well, he was trying to get... I mean, what the neat thing is France has no extradition treaties.
Right. No. If the plane had taken off and gotten into international waters, he'd have been safe. So that lunch cost him some money.
I know, yes, man.
He should have been on that. Should have just straight to
life. He's got an ID 10T problem.
Yeah. And he's got a deal. He can walk onto any plane, any Air France plane, and just take a first-class seat.
Yeah.
I mean, no question. They'll just bump whoever.
Break up a family.
Yeah, I mean, no question. Kid, you stand behind. You know, Home Alone.
That's it. Home Alone. That's right.
Home Alone.
That's it. Hey, wing seat. Wing seat.
Wing seat.
When I say wing seat, I mean on the wing. That's right.
Or you get to visit New York all by yourself.
That's it. Bye bye. So yeah, no, well, it's going to be kind of interesting, I guess, to see if he's going to get the 20 years or whatever it is. I don't know. Maybe swapped for some other one of our spies in Paris.
Right. Oh, yeah, like all of our spies in Paris.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, there's the food spies.
The food spies, right. Ooh, the
okay.
fromage spy.
All right, Jimmy's done. What you got? Anything?
Counselor, do you have anything?
The only one I had was a seventh grader.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I want to do this part. Because here's the situation. A seventh grader posted a message. Now that Osama's dead, Obama better watch out for suicide bombers. On his Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
He gets a visit from the CIEIO.
Right. Secret Service.
CIEIO.
Yeah.
And they tell him, here's the thing. They visited him at his middle school.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that they determined that he was a seventh grader prior to visiting him.
Right.
I mean, unless they thought he was like a midget in disguise, you know.
Right.
He's hiding out as a seventh grader. Well, we'll rough him up a little bit.
Let's rip his nose off.
And maybe he'll tell us.
Yep. Oh, he got the guys from Face Off to do his makeup. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they rip his nose off. Wow, that's pretty good special effect there. You got blood coming out. I can see your skull and everything. You know? Wow.
Looks really good.
Yeah,
so what happened? So they haul him out of class.
Yeah.
And then what?
And they questioned him for half an hour.
And then let him go?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
And some security guard
called
his
mom. My question is, couldn't they determine that this was a non-credible threat before visiting a seventh grade class, number one? And B, how do they have the resources to investigate every seventh grader's Facebook page?
That's the key. That's the thing. And, of course, that's the filtering business.
Skynet.
You know? Yeah, Skynet. They saw the words Obama and bomb in the same suicide. And that, you know,
so
boom.
So don't put those in the thing is what
so
I'm saying.
So we won't even say the words Obama and bomb and suicide on this show, because otherwise we might get interrogated.
Exactly.
Suicide bomber blowing up the president. I can't imagine.
If they come here to Alaska to interrogate me,
I'm
going to be really upset.
Yeah, well, the nice thing, and of course the thing about it being way out here on one of the islands, we're next to Russia practically.
Yeah.
And so
they can see Russia from here.
Yeah, we can see Russia from here. I mean, no, this is like the Bering.
There it is right there. I'm looking at it.
We're at the tip end of the Arctic archipelago out there, so it's not even on the mainland or anything.
Yeah.
So if they come out here, I guess they can catch us. Good luck.
Yeah.
So it is summertime, so they can see us. All right, well then, so much.
Well, I got one. Now, there's a shortage of these kinds of women. This is in Brazil. A woman aged 36 was enabled by the justice to masturbate in her workplace because she has a strange disease. And again, the disease is just that she wants to masturbate. But anyway, divorced mother of three, but she suffers from a rare condition known as compulsion orgasmic, caused by a chemical alteration in the brain region of the cortex, which leads her to masturbate several times a day to relieve the deep anguish that it causes. So anyway,
boy, she could get a hell of a job. I'll tell you that. $200 a shot.
Can you imagine what her porn looks like?
Well, not only that, can you imagine if she had to have it every 10 minutes or 20 minutes or something? She could have the guys lined up out there. You know, she could make big money.
I'm telling you, man, money.
And have fun doing it. That's what I'm saying. You
right.
know, could not be not just have to kind of stare off into space or anything, but she could really get into it, which a guy would like probably. every time it's like the first time for her.
Here's something else I wanted to cover real quick. I almost forgot about. There's now an FDA crusade against fresh milk.
Oh yeah, no. They had a big. EJ sent us the
he went to
video
some rally or something.
It's right there. It's across
Bessie the cow on the
they had
right. Capitol steps or something.
On the
we linked to the video one of a previous show. I'm pretty sure
not this one.
Okay.
Another, well, it was the one we linked to before was the raid on the Amish on the farm.
Right.
Well, that guy was. They had a rally on the steps, and of course, it turned out it was legal because they didn't sell the milk, or I don't know how they got around it. But the point is that everybody was drinking the raw milk.
Right.
And they were, it was 200 or 300 people, and they were doing this. But that's, that's not.
Well, what is amazing to me is I swear we did a show one time where we were talking about how bad things were getting, and in defense of the administration or the system, we said something like, well, it's not like they're arresting Amish farmers.
Yeah. and we made a mistake.
And now they are.
That's right. Well, they have gotten into their face quite a bit, of course, because they drive on the road, so they have to, they get a kind of an exemption for that. But of course, the roads, they were there before the roads were, and you know, who knows. But yeah, no, the fresh milk thing, the fresh milk is just, it's beyond crazy. And of course, that brings up also...
I mean, we're mammals.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I don't mean to point this out.
Well, I mean, you. Well, when you realize that
they're making human breast milk ice cream now in New York.
Yeah, I saw that.
Well, we did that show. Remember?
No, I know. But well, actually, the one we did before was what they were doing in London. This is in New York now. So
oh, they're doing it in New York.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a federal offense or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Okay, that went right out of. Oh, I know what it was. The the other thing that talking about this sort of thing with the milk. Here in Florida, of course, we do. They are allowed to sell it in the stores if you can get enough of it, but you just have to label it unfit for human consumption, unfit for, you know, pet food only or something. But you can sell it all. It's four times the price of regular milk because of that, because of the way they do it. And I would imagine, I mean, if it was made legal, some of those people might, you know, go out of business for all I know, because when you're selling it literally at four times the price of regular milk,
Well, that's probably just to accommodate for all the regulation, the stuff they have to pass with the bribes or...
No, I think that they're under the same inspection type stuff, but I think it's because they can get it. I mean, I think it's because it's rare enough. I mean, there's only one, literally, you can buy it here. If on Wednesdays, you can get it at one store in town. And at the farmer's market, but they sell out like right away. I mean, just immediately. And there's so anyway. And of course, it's fair. It looks like a regular bottle of milk. It's in the plastic carton with a twisty top and everything. It has a label. I mean, it's a regular deal. So I can appreciate that. But this also dovetails into when you talk about these kinds of regulations. One of the big deals, and there was a letter in the Gainesville Sun about this that was kind of interesting. Or I guess it was the thing that Councillor Bart sent us. About the regulations here in Florida. He says, I thought Florida was, you know, home of the free and land of the brave. And this, what they said was, I didn't realize this, but our business regulation, the businesses regulation statewide, are like the first top one or two in the country as far as the number of businesses that are regulated.
30% or something.
Yeah,
like
it's it's unbelievable. I mean, the number that are. I mean, even New York is like 17 or 12 or something like that of the businesses that are actually regulated that you have to have a license for, I mean.
Right.
And of course, here they were going to it was championed widely. A lot of people ran on it. You know, our legislative session just ended here. We have 2 months every year, and it just ended. And there was a bill to deregulate some 25 or 30 businesses that had no business being regulated. And it was to wild acclaim. It was a shoe in, no problem. And on the last day, got shit canned. And did not pay. And you know, there were things like braiding,
hair braiding,
yeah. And so forth. And of course, as Councillor Bart pointed out, in California or someplace, that you have to spend $10,000 and take I don't know how many hours of class from the cosmetology people,
right.
And where there is no class on braiding in order to get a braiding license.
Right.
There's no instruction on braiding in what you have to take. And I mean, talk about stupid. So anyway, here. Of course, the thing I like is your comment about the palm readers.
Oh yeah. Well, we figured that was
the test is.
Yeah, the board just asked them. You know, are you going to pass this test? Yes.
Here's your license.
Yeah.
And then the public feels safe.
Yeah. Well, that's I did notice just as a closing note here along that exact same line is the. Every once in a while, I'll be out Saturday morning doing garage sales, and there's a yellow sign in the middle of the road, and it'll say "Psychic Fair Today," and that's all it says.
Like you don't know where it is. You have to tune in.
If you're a psychic, you know where it is.
Right.
I mean, but I mean, it's just funny. There's just signs all over, you know, the road that pop up and just says "Psychic Fair."
You
today.
Get a message.
Yeah, I'm sitting there. Now that's,
why did you
to
need
me,
the sign?
That's what I always like. Is
why
the,
did you need the sign?
Yeah, right. Well, that's true. Of course, I like the part where they, you know, the psychic was on the radio and they're getting ready to fire her and they called her in and she. And they said, well, we're going to have to let you go, but you already knew that.
Right.
So.
Well, yeah, and I mean, they were talking about these licenses, you know, they were worried people are going to...
It's all about the safety.
Lose their appetite. Well, that's it. They always have to tie it to safety.
Well, one of the things is, and to hear the people that want to keep the licenses that already have the cartel.
Right.
Like, for instance, one of them was, is that we are familiar with is interior decorators. Or interior designers. And, you know, they wanted to let them go because, you know, how much paint color can hurt you? Well, to hear the actual designers talk about it, it's a death sentence.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
a death sentence
oh, yeah.
to have somebody, an unlicensed person, actually come in and tell you what color to paint your house or what because they might fill your house with flammable liquids and then light it on the way out. So who knows?
And yeah. as I say, fabrics that harbor Ebola virus.
That's right. Specifically, you know.
Right.
It looks good though.
Right. Yeah.
It looks good.
No, I mean it's just
ordered from the wrong catalog. You ordered from the Ebola catalog.
Ebola fall collection.
That's right. So anyway, they can't even get that here in Florida, and that's...
Even that guy, though, I will say this, in the little recording that Council Bart sent us, even that guy said, they all go back to the same mistake. They all go back and say...
Doctors should be licensed.
Yeah, they all say, well, there are some businesses that need licenses, because otherwise it's dangerous.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to have your, you know, intestines, you have your appendix taken out by some unlicensed...
Seriously.
Catapult construction.
Yeah. Oops, it went backwards. Yeah, no.
And of course, the answer to that is what's
there's
the problem
none.
There?
I mean, there's none.
No, I mean, there
is zero.
Yeah, because let me.
I mean, what? There
except,
are
except
bad...
for law.
Yeah. Oh, and audio engineers.
Right, right.
Audio engineers.
And talk show hosts.
Talk show hosts.
That's right. Yeah. No,
dangerous to have an unlicensed talk show.
Screechy, horrible noise.
Oh,
and
I could say something that would offend you and put you into an epileptic fit.
Right.
Think of the damage, the medical bills, the trillions of dollars.
Oh,
right
yeah.
There.
No, right. So, no. You think we had a default on the country?
Multiplied by all of our listeners.
Yeah. No. No. Oh, well, that's unfortunate. That goes into negative territory. You're multiplying by a negative number, so let me think. Okay, so anyway, square root of minus one.
I had one thing on, too, and I can't believe that. I want to know what's going to happen with Nikki Haley responding to the labor ruling against Boeing.
Yes.
I mean, in other words, like,
now
Congress
she is
coming
now she's
in.
The
she's
Congress,
the governor
of South Carolina.
And Boeing started a plant there
right.
to make their new Dreamliner.
Right.
Okay, 787 Dreamliner. And they weren't taking any jobs away from Washington.
State.
And they were, they're just adding jobs to Washington, D.C. So then they were building a new plant. They were creating, additional jobs in Washington.
In South Carolina.
And they've already got a plant there, you know. And so now the question is that.
And the unions got all upset.
The unions are freaking out.
Freaking out. And
because South Carolina is a right-to-work state.
Right. You don't have to have a union.
You don't have to have a union. So now the question is, what's Obama going to do?
Is it up to him? I thought the courts decided that the union was right on this and that they couldn't move to South Carolina.
The courts did back.
They backed the unions. I thought
they did. Okay.
That's
this
what
is,
I heard.
I'm looking at an article from the 15th. So this is so in the past.
Oh,
two days,
ancient history. Okay. No, if that's from the 15th, maybe that's. I didn't read the whole thing. I just read that there was a big hoorah about it and that Nikki Haley had been, you know, rightfully.
So Boeing is not going to be producing any planes in South Carolina.
I'm pretty sure that they're going to be forced to pay the union wage.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, see,
I didn't,
the whole idea was not to have to do that. I mean, you don't build it if you have to do that. That's the whole point.
Well, it seems like it.
I mean, if you can find people that are willing to work for
it. You're trying to get around the...
Yeah, you're trying to snake around the system.
Yeah.
Well, that's true because the system sucks. I mean, the fact is that if you know the Dreamliner's got to be competitive with the Airbus, whatever the hell it is.
I'm sure we got at least one listener in SC, so shoot us an email and let us know.
Yeah,
what's happening. Okay. Firebomb them.
That's it. Well, the only other thing that I was trying to find today, which is one of the things we were talking about before on the internet, people are always worried that the internet is going to kill us because of all the misinformation floating around. And of course, how long did it take me to find that clip from? Paul, what's his name, you know, on the thing, you know, you went and actually saw the video and everything. It took me about 10 minutes. But the point is that the other clip I've been looking for, and maybe somebody can remember, it was Lawton Childs. This is also germane to today because the budget was going to be busted at some time. And he was on the Senate floor. And I think it was in 1986, but it might have been I'm pretty sure it was 1986, but it might have been 1996. Anyway, he was on the Senate floor. And they had a copy of the budget, 1,000 pages, whatever it is, and they literally took a piece of paper, you know, with six words typed on it. It says, for purposes of Graham Rudman balancing, the Graham Rudman was the balancing, you cannot spend more than XYZ or whatever it is. And the budget was over by, you know, several billion dollars. They put this piece of paper on top of the budget, and Lawton Childs gets up there and says, for purposes of Graham Rudman, we deem this budget to be in balance. And they voted on it, and sure enough, it went through unbalanced. with this piece of paper that said, oh, it's balanced. And so you ask yourself about the smoke and mirrors. I mean, that's what happens. I'll never forget that. I've been scouring through the C-SPAN archives. And, of course, in the process, I was doing big R research today, scouring through the C-SPAN archives. And I can't imagine from 1986, 89, 93, 95, I'm catching little glimpses and pieces of news report, of news, not the news, this is what the C-SPAN does. When the people come out of a committee meeting and they talk to the press or something like that, or some actual debates on the Senate floor, or the House floor. And a lot of these people are still in Congress, and it's stunning, stunning, mind you, to see what some of these people said literally 25 years ago. And how nothing's changed. They've either changed their mind back and forth six times. But the beauty of the internet is, it used to be you couldn't find that stuff, and you had to rely on the gatekeepers to tell you what happened. The pundits, you know, the Mark Shields and so forth. He remembers when thus and so happened. Now I can go back, and again, I haven't figured all the, my computer's not that fast in that particular arena, or else the C-SPAN servers are, when you're going back through terabytes of data, it may turn out that it has to go back to an old tape for all I know, but it takes a little while to come up on the screen. But the point is, it's all there.
The geek sitting there and the wheels start spinning behind.
Oh, yeah, no, that's right. That's right. That's
Mr.
right.
Mr. Doan, it's Mr. Doan.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to go look. Hey, Bob, go back. Yeah.
Jimmy's got an Apple II that's so sexy that Watson would let it beat him at Jeopardy, you know?
That's right. Yeah, that's it. Okay.
So, again, you guys did mention the fact that it really does suck about the fishing around here, too. 71 out of 114 species caught by anglers are regular.
Oh, yeah, I sent you that.
Yeah,
that
guy, guy was out there, what was he, spearfishing?
Well, here's what he was doing. He was fishing and spearfishing.
Right, he was doing both.
And so the safety officer
officerette.
Right, and she boarded his boat for a safety inspection.
Right.
To make sure he was okay.
Right. In his duffel bag was safely flipping around.
Well, he showed he showed her his catch, his legal catch.
Oh, he showed her his catch, all right.
Yeah, that's right. And then apparently she started looking around saying, what's in there? And, of course, instead of saying, I'm going to call my lawyer or nothing, doesn't,
right.
You know, whatever it is, this is the old, and they gave, and the driver gave the police permission to search the car. Yeah. You know, right. You know, so anyway, he's going to jail.
The driver's in there with two black eyes and a broken arm. You know.
Yeah, right. So anyway, is he going to jail? What had happened is he caught, like, a whole lot of, quote, regulated or illegal fish. There was, like, pounds and pounds. I mean, 30, 40, 50, or 100 pounds of stuff that was...
He was 100, he had, like, what, 140 fish or something?
They showed him. Of course, what was funny is when you see the picture, 40. They had them all laid out like they do the drugs.
Right, right. And right. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they were all aligned according to their shape and size and everything. Color. It was like it was a cocaine bust.
Well, what was funny was
and
that,
she's sitting there.
Yeah, she's in the picture.
She's in the picture.
Smiling.
Smiling, you know, I got him, and look at the catch.
It's like all you have to do is Photoshop a pole in there. And it looks like she was the champion angler.
Right, exactly, right.
But no. This is the contraband fish.
Contraband. I mean, and boy,
fish.
That's it.
Yeah.
So anyway, and he's
like
going.
Fish and milk are
and,
now on the list.
And he's going down. Well, I will say they have for years and years and years. There are what they call protected fish inside, intercoastal waters.
Well, I'll post a link.
And
the reason that I found so that.
And the reason is they have overfished them. I mean, when I first came to Florida, we used to stand on the shore down there and say,
they just leap off into your mouth.
Just about. Mm-hmm. I mean, and now you can't do that anymore because they're gone. They're just almost all gone.
Well, again, of course, that also stops what?
You know.
People from fishing. So then you go
out
somewhere else. I mean, they'll come back. You know, I mean, cycle.
Right. Well, it should, you'd think. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the fact is that humans have extincted some species in the past. But I don't know. The point is that, like you say, it's another regulation, and there certainly would be a better way to do it, it seems to me, than that.
It's pretty amazing, the strictness.
The problem is the water is owned by nobody, so it's not private property.
God.
If they had it,
it's hard to put a fence around.
Yeah,
you know, you'd be surprised. You say that, but
we'll think of a way.
Yeah, we'll think of a way.
I did like this one thing that they told you not to do on Science Friday, but I'm going to tell you to do it anyway. Flaming bubbles. Have you seen that? You take like some soapy water and you get a tank of hydrogen and a tank of oxygen, and you put the hydrogen in there first and you let it bubble up, and the bubbles, they'll form, and then they'll actually lift off from the thing and float to the ceiling. But of course, before they get there, you have a little wick in your hand and you punk stick or whatever, and then it goes woof. And then of course, if you put oxygen in there with it too, it starts to go to a bang, because then you get like a lot more of a thing. So anyway, it's all you have to do is just
I always did that, but we always farted in them. And that was, you know,
this is fourth
low tech.
It was low tech. We didn't have oxygen and hydrogen, for God's sakes. We had
weren't invented yet.
We had hydrogen sulfide. That was it. Poop brew, right. You know, you farted them.
And really, the only thing else that I got was just the this website that I found I thought was pretty cool called Kickstarter.
Oh, yes. What a website that is.
That's pretty neat, man. I mean, you talk about... just a killer website. What it is that if you have an idea, it's kind of geared towards the artsy crowd, sculpting, dancing.
No, there's some
stuff.
Geeks on
there's
there.
Geeks. Oh, yeah, there's product development.
Product
for sure.
Development on
and,
there
and
for sure.
And they get big money for that stuff,
yeah.
Too.
It's a way to raise initial capital, venture capital.
It's free to sign up, and they take five. It's an all or nothing type of deal. In other words, you set a goal, like I want to make I need $5,000 to record my album.
Right.
You know, and I'm Jerry and the, you know, Dick Sticks.
Whatever it is.
Right.
And here, by the way, is a sample of what we do.
Of what we do.
We put a little video, whatever
right.
It is.
Yeah, you definitely got to put a little stupid video on there.
Right. And here's our business plan.
Right.
And here's how we expect to make, you know, recoup all the money.
Right.
And then you put a thing, and then they have like a little, you know, you can donate like a dollar.
Right.
And then, you know, you could have 5,000 investors at a dollar each.
Right.
And then
you could have like one $5,000 investor, and you get to be like executive producer of the video or something.
Which reminds me, what happened to Chicks for Dad?
We're still working on it.
Yeah, that was a $20,000 investment that didn't pay off.
Yeah, but we didn't have Kickstarter back then.
Yeah, that's true. Boy, I tell you, that would have been something.
But anyway, you should check it out. I thought it was pretty interesting, and I mean...
If you've got any idea at all that you think might make money, because the beauty of it is this.
It seems like it'll get funded.
Well, or it won't, and
right.
Then it's no problem. Then everybody gets their money back.
Right.
I mean, the beauty of it is you tell them how much you need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It has to pass some little thing about whether you make money or not, but if you, I forget whether.
You have to have a definable project. In
right.
Other words, it can't be like, I want to create a new clothing label. Well, that doesn't work. But if
no.
You want to create an outfit, that works. You know,
no.
Like one guy wanted... He just wanted 500 pounds of sugar to make, like, sugar necklaces and stuff and, you know, weird designs. But that was his goal, is to earn enough money to buy 500 pounds of sugar. So, and I looked at the funded list, and it took me 2.5 hours to actually get through.
Well,
that was just for this year. I mean, there were thousands of projects.
Well, the beauty of it is it's like the eBay of projects. I mean, of funding projects. It's really kind of neat. There was one that's really, the great one, of course, was the Troll movie.
Right, the Troll movie.
They had 50.
One.
They wanted $50,000. They got it.
Right.
And so they're going to get funded. But they had a 8 or 10 or 12 minute clip of it, and it's funny. It's one of the funniest.
If you donate $10,000 or
yeah,
whatever,
no, you donate $5,000, you get to go give. You get a blowjob from the for a song.
You get a small slide of the director's blood.
Yeah,
with
no.
One of the things.
No, you get a seat
at the
London opening.
Right. Right.
You know, up with the director and everything. I mean,
It's pretty cool. Those are called rewards, and if you look at every project, there's rewards on the side of what you get. You know,
right.
Maybe the like this one guy had a little panoramic camera for his, you know, little,
that was cool.
Oh, there's a little some kind of like little iPod thing, or
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah,
you,
yeah.
You put this little thing, and it enables you to shoot panoramic pictures. I was noticing that some of the products got quite a bit of funding. I mean, if there's anything for your iPod or iTablet or whatever it was, I mean, boy, $200,000 people were ponying up with that stuff.
That's
and but I mean, like they had stuff like Project Lohan got funded for $5,060. That was basically some guy just wanted to like make a documentary on Lindsay Lohan's life using only tabloid stuff. You know, I mean,
and it got funded.
It got funded.
Oh my
God. These are funded, man.
Oh my God.
Let's see.
Well, we don't have to go through it. Let them go through.
Yeah,
we're pretty much out of time here.
All right. A yo-yo documentary, $7,000.
No, that's great stuff. No, and what you do is on your way, when you do the Kickstarter thing, don't forget to head on over to the Jimmy Doan Show and donate some money to us too.
Jack Rudy Cocktail Company making $3,811 to come up with a new cocktail. I mean, you can't believe some of this stuff that's on there. So anyway, a scarf a day, we almost make scarf a day, $1,538 funded. So anyway, check Thugs the Musical, $10,751. All right, well, we're out of here. We will be seeing you guys soon.
Good show.
Thanks for hanging out. And goodbye to Obama. I mean, Osama.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Keep getting them confused.
Yeah, he's... Well, you know, what are, they're calling that Pakistan now is our new frenemy.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, frenemy.
Did they blow up the compound where he was in? I heard there was explosions.
I don't know about that, but I know they're all bent out of shape because the tail rotor might have gone to the Chinese. And now also then, right. Like yesterday, they went in again and hit somebody.
Who, we did?
Yeah.
Oh.
And so they need to say that Pakistanis have told them, don't ever do this again.
Right.
And then we did, and, you know. All right, I'm out of here.
Take care, guys. Yep.
CurbThink is the biggest company in Iceland. It's a company where you get all the benefits of a huge, global, multi-million... I mean, how many millions live in Iceland?
300,000.
300,000 million?
No, just 300,000.
Ha! Huh. So, CurbThink is the biggest company in this tiny little country. Tell me, how many companies do you have in Iceland? What, half a dozen?
No, thousands.
Thousands? Oh, really? Well, maybe everybody in Iceland has a company.
Kaupthing, hugsum lengra.
So, if the population is only 300,000, why are you making these advertisements at all? I mean, why don't you just pick up the phone and give everyone a call?